Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to be with you as always. You're going to be glad you did because we got our good buddy Tim Berry back on the show. Tim's been with us since 1998, actually January of 1998. We've already celebrated his 11th anniversary. He's working on his 12th year with us. He's the founder and the leader emeritus of the of Palo Alto Software. He's the guy who the company is now in second generation. How about that, folks? That's a great American success story. Palo Alto Software, the folks who make Business Plan Pro and other things, and he's the world's business planning expert. And he's our good friend Tim Berry. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's so
how you like
nice
that?
To be with you again.
Leader emeritus. What do you think?
Oh, I think I like president better. That's not inaccurate when there's a CEO running the company, so what can I say?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, listen, that's a badge of honor. You should wear that because emeritus in this case doesn't mean that you're not no longer, you know, you're obviously still involved in the business, but you've got a child who's taken over the reins of the company. This is a great American success story that should be celebrated.
You know, that is true, and it's funny how little we recognize in this country, I think, that that's good when it happens.
You absolutely.
Know, there is this assumption of nepotism as... I looked nepotism up in Google, by the way, at one point, and 6 out of 7 definitions imply that the second generation is somehow incompetent or lesser. One of the 7 definitions is just, yes, passing things on to another generation,
mm-hmm.
but... Which is our case, because our CEO is 35, has years in the industry, and is running the company very well.
Right. Well, exactly. And you know, we've all seen it both ways. We've seen it where there was a you know, the primogeniture thing, where it was just automatically the firstborn or whatever. And then we've seen it, and maybe they were qualified, maybe they weren't. Then we've seen it where there was some thought put into it, and there was a logical process to getting this child into this second generation, I should say, into the position, which is the case, which is your case. And I recommend to any company, Tim, as they're doing their business planning, as they contemplate bringing on a second generation, I recommend to anybody that they study what other companies have done and try to identify where people have failed and where people have succeeded. What do you think?
I think that this is a problem that's coming up more and more with our population bump of baby boomers.
Yep.
And at a particularly hard time for a lot of this group, because there is a time in life when you look at succession one way or another, or selling the company or whatever. I mean, people do get older every day. And it's very interesting to me that the succession plan, if there is a second generation that is concerned with the business and working the business and wants to take over, becomes a very nice alternative for that baby boomer, like yours truly, because I'm
mm-hmm.
61. So the alternative of how do you monetize a business at the end of your career when you've been an entrepreneur, that there it's if you come of that age right now during the recession, it can be very bad luck.
Right. Now, exactly. The timing is, you know, never mind the timing. You never know how the timing is going to work out. But in your case, for example, you're your child who took over, Sabrina, who took over your company, she had worked for another company before, hadn't she?
She had worked for 3 other companies down in the Silicon Valley and done extremely well, and then started 2 other companies before she came and joined Palo Alto Software. So she had a full career. She's 35 now with 2 kids. And
but see, that's the key to me is the fact, you know, to me, if you really want to make sure that works, you know, let the child that's going, let the second generation that's going to take over, let them go somewhere else for a while and see how things are outside, out from under the family roof.
Sure, there's no question from my experience that that's actually good preparation. It's just without reservations.
Well, there are a number of benefits to that. Number one is they actually went and looked for a job and got it on their own. Number two, they see how things are in another part of the world. Number three, they can now choose to come back or not to come back. And number four, when they get there, if they've chosen to come back, they shouldn't have any regrets because they made that choice instead of having the choice forced upon them. There's so many things that are important about this, folks. We're going to come right back and talk some more about this kind of planning with our good friend Tim Berry, including how do you plan for your small business at a time like this. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. Here's Mr. Richard Pennyman, ladies and gentlemen. You know him as Little Richard. He's still rocking after all these years. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Whether you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes, we got something that'll help you, I think. Whatever's on your mind under the small business sun, opportunities, challenges, we've talked to somebody about it or somebody has written about it, and we posted it on our website, either in the form of an archive or an article by me and my Brain Trust members. And you can check out my blog when you're there. We update it every week, usually 3 or 4 times a week. And also my knowledge base is there, askjim.biz. My newsletter is there. Hope you'll check that out, too, and subscribe to that. We'll send it to you on Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. Tim Berry has been contributing to all the things that we do for so many years now, over 11 years, and we couldn't do without him. He's the author of The Plan As You Go Business Plan, which is absolutely a 21st century document that you need if you've got a small business. And, of course, he's the founder of Palo Alto Software. Tim, we were talking about succession planning.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned a minute ago that succession planning is a little tougher when the economy is off like this, isn't it? I mean, when you know, one of the things that young kids have to understand if they want to take over the parents' business is the parents have built this business into something of value. They've got years left to go. They can't just give that value to their kids. I mean, they've got to live themselves. There's got to be a transaction somewhere along the way, doesn't there?
Yeah, there does. That's true.
And so how do we deal with that these days?
You know, it's funny because the literature over that goes all over the map. I've studied the literature on succession planning. And it's not what we did in Palo Alto Software. The key for our experience is choice. If the next generation is involved in the business at all, you have to be so sure down to the smallest little details that it's a matter of them choosing to be involved in this business rather than the old-fashioned thing of you're going to work in the family business and et cetera, et cetera. That, to me, seems to be the critical make-or-break factor. And it's really hard to assure that that's true through a plan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what you're saying is you've got to be very deliberate and structured and disciplined in the way you transfer the company.
Yes, I am saying that. Another thing that happens is there's a great deal of irony because what a lot of that is about is control, and one of the first things you end up dealing with if you're going to do it right, is not being able to control. Because that choice ultimately is the choice of the generation coming up. So you're working with the hope that that choice becomes a viable choice, but you can't do a lot of things to make sure that that person makes that choice because then it becomes forcing.
The transition of ownership and the transition of control are two completely different things, and they both are fraught with challenges, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And the control thing, as you were starting to allude there, Tim, that's a big deal, too. And I've seen this over and over again. Companies, you know, I've actually seen people who should have signed over the company to their children 15 years before, you know, actually not do that until the company got in trouble, and they literally would sign it over at their deathbed. You know, I mean, that kind of thing. That's waiting too long. Waiting too long on letting control move over to the new folks can be almost as bad, maybe worse, than doing it too soon.
Oh, I'm sure. It's what's interesting is how much of it is serendipity, because you're surveying the scene and realizing that these people are ready to run the company or not. And I mean, heaven forbid, I didn't deal with the not situation. But the serendipity element comes in is they are, and they're going to, and they're going to be depending on choices that they make, not choices that you make.
Right.
That's where the control is really hard on an owner if it doesn't go well.
Especially in the last 20 years or so, Tim, because the marketplace has changed. Change isn't different from what it was 100 years ago, but the velocity of change is different. It's increased significantly. And so every time, you know, Tim, 100 years ago, when a father passed a business down to a child, or a mother down to a child, you know, they pretty much just picked right up where the parent left off and kept going. Today, by the time a child takes over from the parent, that business has got a whole new business model, and that's rough on the person who's leaving, isn't it?
Yeah, that can be hard, but that's very insightful, because of course that's one of the benefits if it goes well, is you've got somebody who's in this other world and more ready to adapt to change, and it can be very, very healthy for a company.
You know,
the choice thing is that you don't have any guarantee of that, and some of the actions that the older generation have to take in order to make sure that this happens smoothly already involve losing control.
Yeah, and the losing of the control, folks, that's the tough part. And I don't know how many times when I've given speeches about these things, I've had young people come up to me, Tim, and say, I wish my dad had been here. I wish my mom could have heard this. And you could tell that they were struggling. The whole family was struggling with the transition. Tim Till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Tim Berry. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Little Heart bringing us back. The Wilson sisters, Ann and Nancy. Tim Berry is our guest. He's with Palo Alto Software. Tim, that's paloalto.com and bplans.com, right?
Yes. Thank you, Jim, for asking that.
And your blog. Websites. Also, give us your blog.
Blog.timberry.com.
Can they find the blog? They can find the blog off of timberry.com, too, though, can't they?
Yes.
And bplans.com, that's where they can go to see what a business plan looks like. Are there some examples in there, Tim?
Oh, Jim, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's been about a month since we've been together. We have recently put all 500 of our sample plans in bplans open to the public for free. You can see all of them start to finish. It used to be just a few as samples, but
you had about 50 or 60 before.
Free now.
Yeah, but for years you had like 50 or 60 up there.
That's right. That's right.
And
this
now
is a big change.
100%. That's a great story. And so, folks, check that out. That's a free site. Nobody's gonna put the arm on you at bplans.com. I hope you'll check that out. And of course, timberry.com. Whatever Tim has to say is an important thing to follow. And I hope you'll do that. And also, they can follow you on Twitter, can't they, Tim?
Tim Berry, with no spaces, just TimBerry on Twitter, yes.
And also, of course, I am too, folks, Jim Blasingame, right there at the end of Twitter, no spaces, so check that out, and you get a chance to. Tim, the you mentioned a minute ago, we're talking about succession planning in your business planning. You mentioned a minute ago, Tim, about that you studied all the books and all the examples, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know offhand, do you have any good books or a good website or a good resource that you can think of that would help people with succession planning?
Well, you know, the problem with that, Jim, is that what worked for me and my company wasn't in the books. So I can't just cite one.
Yep.
Most of the books had a lot of talk about dealing with all the stakeholders and sort of making sure that everybody in the family is happy and foreseeing all the possible repercussions and so on. And what I did was, I think, very much better, and I'm sure for my company at least, was I saw from my own very personal point of view that the company was ready and Sabrina was ready to be CEO. And I didn't do a lot of advance work with anybody on it. I said, this is going to happen
tomorrow.
But don't you think
it helped you to juxtapose those examples that you studied and that you looked at? And even though you didn't use them, don't you think it helped you to have them as a counterbalance or a counterpoint to what you actually did?
Oh, knowledge always helps, you know.
So
in any decision making, what everybody else is thinking and writing about it always helps, even if you do just the opposite, which is sort of what
exactly
I did. You know, you do it with your eyes open.
Well, that's my point. I mean, even if you read something, you go somewhere and you don't like what the person said, you know it made you uncomfortable, you said, you know, I don't think I'd want to do it that way. Well, that's okay. Now at least you know what you don't want.
And having a naysayer around or having these different views, I think, is just always good. You don't lose by considering other points of view. Ever.
Which also means that it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to... There are people out there who are generational experts, business generational experts, family counselors. They help people with transitions. There are people out there. You might want to enlist some of their help, even if you don't take their advice. Just at least you can hear what they have to say. What do you think, Tim?
Well, on that one, it's funny because when you ask for books, none come to my mind quickly. But I will say that we in our company benefited a lot by a professional who met with us like once a quarter over several years to keep things flowing, and that the family business expert was a
right.
valuable counselor now and again for us.
And by the way, folks, we actually have a family business section, and if you go to the categories in all of our stuff, the blog, the knowledge base, and the website, there are categories in there for family-owned businesses, and we have experts in the brain trust who fit that category, and resources, and past interviews, and articles, and this one will go in there too, Tim. We'll have to put this one in there. I think this one's worthy for sure.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, if I can help, then that's great.
And they can probably ask you a question on Twitter or on your blog about that, can't they?
Yes. That's actually come up several times in my blog.
I bet it has. That's timberry.com, folks. You can find his blog there. Also, follow him on Twitter. Also, bplans.com. Hey, Tim, thanks for being here. As always, after more than 11 years, we couldn't do without you.
Thank you, Jim. I'm always happy to be back.
Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, he is the best. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.